Galatians chapter 5. Look here, verse 18. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to preach and teach. And I pray that this message would be a blessing. And I pray that you'd use it for your honor and your glory. Lord, you know the need of every single person that's here. And I pray that you would meet that need today. Keep a hedge around us. Keep us safe. In Jesus, your precious name, we pray. Amen. If you remember last week, in verse 16 and 17, I did read 18, but I didn't get into it. He talked about walk in the Spirit, right? To walk in the Spirit. So if you think about walking in the Spirit, is walking in the Spirit dealing with salvation? Walking in the Spirit. Correct. It's not for salvation. It's evidence after you get saved, right, that you should have a desire to walk in the Spirit, right? But walking in the Spirit, when you're looking at that, walking in the Spirit is not, that's an action, right? That's works, right? So he's not talking about salvation. He's talking about your practice, your day-to-day living, right? But it is evidence, right? Someone who gets saved, they will walk in the Spirit. Doesn't mean we always do, as we saw from last week. But look here at verse 18, right? So he's kind of going back to reminder, right? He's talking about verse 16 and 17. He's talking about our practice, our day-to-day living, right? He's not talking about salvation per se, that you have to keep your salvation or whatever. But in verse 18, he says, if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now he's going back and talking and saying there's difference between led of the Spirit and walking, right? When he speaks of led of the Spirit, he's talking about salvation. He's talking about if you are saved, right? Here he's talking about your position. He's talking about your position. Can I tell you one of the things that it seems like it gets confused in church or Christian circles, I don't know how else to define that, is people will combine these two things. They'll combine your position in Christ. Position means that you have eternal life, right? Your position. With practice. Practice is your day-to-day living, right? What will happen is people will take these two things, position, salvation, you already have it, practice your day-to-day living, and try to combine those two things and say that you need to accept Christ as your Savior and walk to keep your salvation, right? That is a false doctrine, right? These two things are separate, right? You have eternal life, that is your position, but if you are saved, God's desire is, after you get saved, to walk in the Spirit. Does that make sense? This thing gets confused. There's churches that's in this area all across the world that teach that, right? That you have to hold on to your salvation. They're taking position and practice and putting it together. And here is Paul is very clear, going up through the first four chapters, saying your position is in Christ, you have eternal life. Chapter 5, he starts to talk about our walk, right? Our practice. But in verse 18, it's kind of like he's reminding, don't forget, your position is in Christ. You can't change that. Amen? You have eternal life. Look over here what the Bible says over to the book of Ephesians chapter 1. So there's a difference between your position and your practice. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. This is a review here, and we'll get into it a little bit deeper. Where it says in verse 13, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Here he's talking about you heard the gospel, someone shared the gospel with you, the word of God. And then what happened after you heard the word of God? You did what? What did he say here? Ye what? Believed, right? That means you got saved. And after you got saved, what happened when you got saved? What does he say here in the scripture? You were sealed. Holy Spirit comes in. Yes. You are sealed until the day of redemption. You know what that means? Until you get to heaven, right? So this is your position in Christ. When he says in Galatians 5:18, he's referring to your position. Can you lose the Holy Spirit?
No.
No. Impossible. Why? Because God says you're sealed unto the day of redemption. You can't lose that. So if you can't lose yourself, the Holy Spirit, how could you lose your salvation?
You can.
It's impossible, right? So he's talking about our position. I'm going to show you something today through the scripture. Don't you're like, whoa. But the Bible will say, if you're truly born again, he talks about this, that you can't sin again. What's that? I'm going to show you in scripture. Why would he say that? What's that? Because he doesn't see our sin. It's kind of like we're getting a little Sunday school. But I want you to think about this, right? Because he's talking about your position in Christ, right? Look what the Bible says over here to the book of... actually, we'll work back a little bit, but I'll get there. Go forward to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So he's talking about our position, right? Our position. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you accepted Him as your substitute, right? When you accepted Him as your substitute, that means He paid for your sin debt. When Adam and Eve sinned, God told them that they were going to die. They died physically, we know that, but spiritually they died that day. That day, they died spiritually. And God promised a Redeemer to them. A Redeemer that would what? Pay for their sins. Be a substitute, right? Look what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. In verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, what do you think he's talking about there? In Christ. He's talking about, your position. You're in Christ. He's talking about if you're saved, right? He is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Someone is truly saved, born again. You are in Christ. Your life is different. Galatians chapter 5, verse 15 or 18, remember? If ye be led of the Spirit. When you get saved, you are now going to be led of the Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. Before I got saved, the Holy Spirit didn't dwell in, right? How could I be led of Him? I couldn't. But when I got saved and became in Christ, now I'm a new creature. God now dwells in me. The Holy Spirit dwells in me. And what happens is, He's in here working within. And because He's working within, you'll see the outside, right? It's not reformation. A lot of times that's what happens when people look at salvation. They reform their life. But what they're doing, they're showing on the outside, but they never dealt with the inside. That's what reformation does, and it'll make you miserable. When you truly get saved, God comes in and works within, and what happens? The fruit comes out, right? So that's what we see is you're a new creature. Look over here to the book of Romans chapter 5. I'm sorry, Romans chapter 8. There's scriptures I'm getting through. I know it's going to be a little bit of scripture that's here. But I want you to see that because the title of my message, which I forgot to tell you, would have been this. Are you led of the Spirit? Are you led of the Spirit? That's something you have to answer. Because if you're not led of the Spirit, then what that means is you are not His. That means you're lost. You can be very religious, but you're lost. So I'm going to answer what the Bible says. What does that mean, led of the Spirit, right? But if you be led of the Spirit, that's what he was talking about, right? That means that you're not under the law. The law is what? A penalty. The law says you're guilty. You'll die and spend eternity in hell. The law says you're nothing you can do, right, to earn salvation. But if you're led of the Spirit, you're not under the law, not under the penalty. So how do we then make sure that we're led of the Spirit? Look here in the book of Romans chapter 8, starting at verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus, what's he referring to? Position, right? Salvation, position. That word condemnation means judgment against. There is now, therefore, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, right? So when you get saved in Christ Jesus, there's no judgment against, right? Your position. So what that's saying is your sins are paid for. There's not a judgment coming, per se, right, of judging you for your sins. He goes on, look at this. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, right? Here, and we can see as he continues to break this down, you'll see he's talking about being led of the Spirit. What he's saying is your life has changed. Things are different, right? He goes on, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death. When you got saved, you are no longer under the penalty of the law, right? The law says, do this, and here's the penalty. Here's the consequence. You'll spend eternity in hell, right? When you get saved in Christ, you are no longer under the law. He says you're no longer under death. He's not talking about a physical death, because we know that unless the rapture happens, all of us will die. He's talking spiritually, right? In Revelation chapter 20, he talks about every person whose name is not written in the book of life, at the end of the chapter, shall be cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. That death speaks of a separation from God, right? Those that are lost will be eternally separated from God. They're still alive. They're still being tormented for all eternity. Duration without end. But that's the second death. When you get saved, you may die physically, but spiritually you're alive. You've been made alive in Christ. So we go on. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, or for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. What are you saying? The law couldn't save us, and we couldn't save ourselves, but Jesus became our substitute. That's why when Jesus came into this world, he had to be placed into the womb of Mary, because if he was of the seed of man, he would have the sin nature. Right? He was God, placed in the womb. And then he lived a sinless life. The only way for a sacrifice to be accepted by God for your sins and mine, it had to be a perfect sacrifice, right? That's the only way a substitute would work, right? God said that you, if you sin, can't go to heaven, right? So to have a substitute would be someone that didn't sin, right? He would pay for our sins. He goes on and says, look here, verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, and they that are after the Spirit the things of the Spirit. So he's given us a difference, right? There's a difference between those that don't know God, right? And those that are saved. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, right? So when you get saved, when you're walking in the Spirit, right? He's saying that you're right with God, that you're your position, right? You're trying to do what's right. The reality is, you think about it, you have peace. You can lose that peace. Why? Because you get out of the Spirit. What that means is you're not walking like God wants you to. But the reality is, you never, ever, ever lose your salvation, right? Keep on going. It says, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God, right? You can never please God if you're living in sin, living in the flesh. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. You see that? You may say, well, preacher, I'm in the flesh, right? Yes, he's talking spiritually, right? He's not talking about our life per se. He's talking spiritually when you accept Christ as your Savior. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. See that? He's talking about salvation. He's talking about your position. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. You're either saved or lost, right? It's pretty simple. Saved or lost. Either the Holy Spirit dwells in you and you're led by the Spirit, or he doesn't dwell in you, you're not led by the Spirit, and you're lost. You're either God's or you're not God's. That make sense? Someone say, okay, all right. And if Christ be in you, again, in you, right? He's talking about our position. The body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, how does he dwell in you? When you get saved, right? He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, but to live up. We are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, we shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. What he's saying here it is, our practice. We need to do our best not to live in the flesh, sinful things, but live in the Spirit, right? It'll come together here in the next few verses, right? For as many are led by the Spirit of God, here it is, right? They are the sons of God. Well, how do you become led by the Spirit of God? By you becoming a son of God. Do you see that? By accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. You accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are now led by the Spirit of God. He's talking about you have your position is settled, and now your practice, you can walk in the Spirit led, right? So if you're not born again, you cannot be led by the Spirit. You're still under the debt of the law. Verse 15. For you have received the spirit of bond, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, right? Before you got saved, you may have feared death. You know why? Because you're going to die and give an account of your life to a holy God, and you're guilty. You may have said, I don't want to die, because I'll spend eternity in hell. He said, when you get saved, you don't have to fear that. I don't fear hell. I know where I'm going, right? He goes on and says, but ye have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Because we're led by the Spirit. But what do we see? We see that he came in. And look what he says here, verse 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, right? So he's talking about if you're led by the Spirit, means that you are born again, right? And when you are led by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit dwells in. And now the Holy Spirit will bear witness with your spirit that you're a child of God, right? So when you get saved and you pick up this Bible and start reading, the Holy Spirit will bear witness to you. You may be reading verses, even these verses here, right? Or you go to the book of John, like John 3:16, and you'll be like, that's what I did. I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit within will bear witness with you and say, yep, that's what you did. You are a child of God. That's Him leading us, right? Telling us, witnessing to us, right? So, and then He says here, verse 17, and if children, right, that means Holy Spirit dwells in, you're being led by God, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, I'll come back to that in a minute, that we may be also glorified together. Here it is, God saying, if He dwells within, you have the Holy Spirit. That means you're led of God, you're no longer the law. That means your position is settled. Does that make sense? Do you know verse 17, he tells you that if your life, after you get saved, your life you live is your practice, your day to day. If you don't live for God, it will affect when you come back on the millennial reign, it will affect what you do during that time. Someone that's serving God, right? When you come back, the reality is during this time, right? He'll tell us here, if so be that ye suffer with him, When is that? During this time. That ye may be glorified together, right? Someone that's not living for God during that millennial reign is not going to be doing something versus someone that's living for God, right? Now, God's not going to get rid of you, right? Because you're led by the Spirit of God. He dwells in. But the reality is what you do during the millennial reign will be different from what other people will do. That's what he's telling us here, right? If so be that you suffer with him, right? Living for God in this world, an ungodly world, Mark, you're going to suffer. Do you see that? That's what he's saying. But Mark, suffering is worth it because of what's coming. That's, you know, it's a wonderful thing. So anyway, look. What, now I'm going to go over to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Did this make sense? Did I lose anyone? All right. Look over here to 1 John chapter 3. Can I tell you, if you can grasp position and practice and you get that settled, it will help you when you're studying your Bible, right? Because again, he says you're in Christ. How can you lose it? You can't lose it, right? In 1 John chapter 3, I'm going to show you a verse that says that when you get saved, you can't sin. But follow me, right, on this. I'm not preaching a false doctrine. You'll see it. You may say, how is that possible, right? Well, you have to think. There's a position and there's a practice. Where do you sin? Your position or your practice? Practice, right? Your position is settled. If the only way that you can sin in your position that's settled, remember you're a substitute, right? Substitute. And so let me just give a hypothetical, try to give an example, right? So let's say that, you know, if our Lord was here and he died for me, he became my substitute, right? We know that he did that. He died on the cross for my sins. The only way, because he's a substitute, he took my sins and I take his righteousness. We'll see that in the scripture. The only way that I can then, in God's eyes, have sin to my account is if my substitute is no longer righteous. Right? Look here. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Wherefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. God's saying that you're a child of God, right? He goes on and says this, Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Salvation is not a process. You have it. You either are a child of God or you're not. I'm a child of God now, right? That's what he's saying. But now are ye the child of the sons of God. And it doeth not yet appear what we shall be. Why is that? Because my position may be settled, but my practice, I'm not perfect, right? We say things we shouldn't say, right? We do things we shouldn't say. It does not yet appear, right? One day I'm going to have a new body and I'm going to be sinless. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. But it does not appear, right? It's not today, right? He goes on and says, when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. They're not saying that we're becoming a god. No, that's a false doctrine, right? Like him, what's that mean? Well, that means that we have a sinless body, right? I'll finally have a body that will never sin. Praise the Lord for that. Every man that hath this hope in him, purify him himself, even as he is pure. It will help you on your walk. When you know that your position is settled and you're on your way to heaven, that will help you, right? Like, praise the Lord, I know where I'm going, right? And also knowing that one day I won't have to worry about my practice, my day-to-day living. I'm not going to sin again at this time, right? Are you following? Make sense? Yes? No? All right. Then look. Whosoever committeth sin transgresses the law, For sin is a transgression of the law. Now it's important, I'm going to read these verses down to verse 10. Because if you take these verses out of context, you can get confused and be like, ah! Right? And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Right? So he starts out verse 4 and he tells us, you know, that if, you know, people that sin don't have eternal life, right? And then he says that he came for the reason, what? To be your substitute. And there's no sin. He's sinless, perfect, righteous, right? And the sinless, holy Son of God came here to take away your sins. What does that mean? He came to be your substitute. You think about salvation is simple. You can allow Jesus to pay your sin debt, or you're going to pay for it. But someone's going to pay for it, right? It's either you or him. He already paid for it, and he's willing to pay for it all. Or you can pay for your sin. You may say, well, I'm going to pay for my sin. If you don't accept Christ, you pay for your sin. You know what that payment is? Eternity in the lake of fire. Separation. Right? Separation from God. So anyway, verse 6. Whosoever abideth in him, look at this, sinneth not. How is that possible? What? So then can I not abide? So how is it possible? Let me keep on reading, right? And whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him nor known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteous is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doeth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. How is it that the Bible says that if we believe, we don't sin? That's what he told us here, right? He goes on, verse 6, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not, right? Where is it? Verse 9, whosoever is born of God doeth not commit sin. How is that possible?
By the blood of Christ.
So have you committed sin since you've been saved?
Yeah.
All right. So how is that possible?
The way I interpret it is,
I'll give you the answer here in a minute, but go ahead.
I interpret it like you're not going to want to sin.
No. Yeah.
It's just like you, as soon as you do, you're like, oh, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that no more.
But he says, doesn't sin.
Because Jesus already died for our sin.
There you go. There it is, right? So going back to that standpoint, and I'm not saying your other point was wrong, right? Your other point is right. If you're truly born again, there'll be a desire you don't want to sin, right? But here he says, you don't sin. How is that possible? Well, let's go back. Your position is settled because he paid for your sin. He paid for it in full. He took your sin. Jenny, he took all of your sin and nailed it to the cross, and you took his righteousness. Because you see what he says in verse 9? Because his seed remain in him. The only way that you could sin again in God's eyes, as in he's talking about the position, is for Jesus to become a sinner. So he's talking about in these verses your position in Christ, not your walk. Remember back at verse 1 and 2 that you're a child of God? That you are now a child of God? He was manifest to take away our sin? 1 John chapter 3 talks about your position. He says here that if you are a child of God, that you can't sin. Right? Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Verse 6. Verse 9. Whosoever is born of God, how do you become born of God?
Accepting.
And that is what? That is your position, right? You are in Christ. Look at this. Doeth not commit sin. How is that possible? For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. He's talking about your position. Your position is forever settled. You cannot, in God's eyes, sin. Why? Because your sin has already been paid for. You understand? He paid for it all. And if he paid for every single one, how can God look down at you and say, "Ah, you're a sinner again"? No, no, no. He already paid for them all. The only way is if the substitute becomes a sinner. Do you see how salvation is eternal? You see how it doesn't rest on you? You see how it doesn't rest on your practice walking in the Spirit, right? What did he say? Because if you're led by the Spirit of God, you're not under the law. How do we become led? Well, Romans chapter 8. He says that you received, that you become a child of God, became adopted. What does that mean? He paid my sin debt in full. That's what he said. It is finished. He paid for it. You're forgiven if you accepted Christ. That's why when God looks down from heaven and he looks at me, he can see that I am righteous. It's not me, but it's him. He is my substitute. And when God looks down, he sees the blood was applied. And what that means is he took my sin debt. And when God looks at me, look over here to Romans chapter 3. What God sees is Christ's righteousness. Look here in Romans chapter 3. Did that make sense or makes more sense now? Again, don't confuse position and practice, right? Because you get position and practice confused or try to put it together and be like, ah! Romans chapter 3. Yes, go ahead.
You can see, though, Pastor, how people can misinterpret it and
yes.
Really confuse
people. Yes.
To believe that we can lose everything.
Correct.
So,
yep.
I really am enjoying the message. So.
Yeah. So you have to remember that, right? So again, yeah. So that's what Paul was dealing with in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 and 17, saying walk. And then verse 18, he's saying, hey, if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law, right? He wanted to make sure it was brought up again. Hey, your position is settled. Look here in Romans chapter 3 in verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is made manifest and witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, upon all and upon all them that believe, there is no difference, right? How is you get the righteousness of Christ? By believing. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Look at this, being justified just as if, right? Being justified freely by the grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Here it is. Look at these verses. These are very powerful verses. Who God sent forth to be the propitiation through faith in his blood. Look at this. To declare his righteousness for the remissions of sin that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, look at this, his righteousness, that he might be just and justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. He became my substitute. And what is it? God looks down and sees Christ's righteousness because I have accepted him as my Savior. And because he was my substitute, God sees that my sin has been paid for. And because my sin's been paid for and he took my place, that means I have Christ's righteousness as in my position. Not my practice. And I still sin. My position is settled. He says, where is boasting then? Is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Right? You've been forgiven. Look what the Bible says over here in the book of 1 John. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Just remember, there's a difference between position and practice. Because, as Doris said, you'll have people that will come to you and try to put it together and tell you that you have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and then you have to live for God.
Perfect.
Yeah, you got to be perfect, right? Yeah. So, but if you think about that, yeah, the only way that would happen, because either he paid for all your sins or he didn't, right? That's what he's saying. Yeah. When someone, and I think what happens is sometimes when people get saved, right, they must know that. He's paying for all your sins. There's some people that teach, well, you have to believe on Jesus Christ and be a good person. And whatever. If that's you, you're lost. If that's what you're trusting in. Because it's his righteousness, not his righteousness and my righteousness. Yeah. Remember in the Old Testament when they would make a sacrifice in the Old Testament? He would tell them to bring stones. Stones. And they would put those stones that were there. That were there. You know why? Because those stones were God made. They couldn't put a toll to it, right? Because if it was a picture of Christ, if they took this stone, I don't have a this sound like this is a stone, and they took a tool to it, and he was very a tool to it, they could say, hey, I'm accepting Christ's sacrifice and my works of making it nice. Right? He said, nope. You bring a stone that no tool's been touched. Right? It was a picture of salvation that he's going to pay for it. You have nothing to do with it, right? Old Testament, you'll see that through the rocks. I mean, it's powerful, right, when you start thinking about it. Anyway, in John, in 1 John chapter 5, look here, it says in verse 10, he that believeth on the Son of God has the witness in himself. That witness is the Holy Spirit. How do you receive the witness? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, right? You get saved. And that means your position is settled. He that believeth not God has made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. So he's saying you either have eternal life or you don't. That's it. Yeah. And this is the record that God has given to us, eternal life, and this life is in the Son. He that hath the Son hath life. Eternal life. He that hath not the Son has not life. You either are saved or you're lost. You're either trusting 100% in Him to be your substitute to pay your sins, and you're going to heaven, or you're trusting in something different. Huh? These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us, and we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know we have the petitions that we desire. Verse 13, God is telling us, He gave us His word that you can know that you have eternal life. If you truly believed on Him, you have eternal life. That's what He's saying. God doesn't want you to go around in doubt or wonder, but you can know. So you have to ask yourself, are you led of the Spirit? Being led of the Spirit means that you accepted Christ as your Savior. You got born again, right? Are you led of the Spirit? If you are, then you have eternal life. You know what he said is saying at the end of verse 14 and 15? If you're truly led of the Spirit, this goes back to what Jenny was saying earlier, right? If you're led of the Spirit, then your practice, your day-to-day living, you're going to try your best to live for God. There'll be a desire you want to please Him. Doesn't mean you're perfect, but there's a change. One of those changes or evidence is now that you pray, because you're a child of God, God promised to hear and answer your prayer according to His will, right? Sometimes it's not God's will, Paul prayed three times and said, Lord, take away this thorn of the flesh. And God said, no. You can have all the faith in the world. You could be living for God. That doesn't mean that God's not a genie. He's God. And the reality is, it may be God's will not to heal you. Maybe you're going through something. And it may not be God's will. There's people out there, these faith healers per se, and say, if you have all the faith in the world, you can get rid of it. That's not what God told Peter. Or that's not what God told Paul. Matter of fact, that's not what Paul told Timothy, right? He had a problem with his stomach and told him to use wine. That wasn't alcoholic wine. You don't use alcohol. Alcohol to the stomach is bad, right? It was pure grape juice. So anyway, he didn't say, Timothy, you got to have faith. Right? It wasn't God's will, right? You're going to have problems, right? So anyway, but there's evidence. If you're truly led by the Spirit of God, means you're saved, there should be evidence that you're born again. Is there evidence? That's something you got to answer, right? Evidence. What is one of them? Well, we saw it in Romans. The Spirit beareth witness with your spirit that you're a child of God. The Holy Spirit should bear witness. When you pick up this Bible and read it, He should bear witness that you are a child of God. If God, the Holy Spirit does not tell you you are a child of God or you accept the Lord as your Savior, then He's not bearing witness. You know what that means? You're not His. Beareth witness, right? You start doing things you shouldn't. Going back to what Jenny was saying. Doing things you shouldn't. There should be a desire to do what's in. But if you say, you know what happens? The Holy Spirit that dwells in says, get right. Or chastening is coming, right? Are you chastened by God? Who does God chasten? God chastens His own children. Right? Now, there's consequences for sin, right? I can get on top of this pulpit and pretend like that's a swimming pool and dive straight in and crack my neck or whatever and be like, look, God gave me judgment. No, I was dumb. I didn't use my brain, right? And there's some people that do dumb stuff and they're like, oh, look, it's God chastening me. No, you were an idiot, you know? When God chastens you, you're going to know it. There is no doubt God's chasing me, right? So you have to think, are you led by the Spirit of God? And when you are, then you have to realize what He's talking about. Your position is settled. How can I lose my salvation? I can't. Unless He becomes a sinner. Now that's important to know. Because as verse 16 and 17, as he talked about walking the Spirit, when we come back next week, he's going to talk about the things of the flesh. Right? And then he starts getting into that position again. Right? But anyway, when you look at the Bible, it's clear. Right? But I can tell you this, there is people that will try to confuse you. All I did was I was reading the scripture to you to expound it, right? Showing you, right? He said in one, if you're led by the Spirit, I showed you in Romans where he says, this is what it means to be led of the Spirit. In John, it says that you're a child of God. And it says you can't sin. Just remember, that is your position. It's a wonderful thing. Are you led by the Spirit? If not, can I tell you, you came to the right place. And you can be born again. Father, thank you for this opportunity to preach. And Lord, I pray that this message is a help and a blessing. And I pray that it would help people in their walk. Lord, there's so much more I can get into. And but Lord, I know that's where you led me to preach. And I pray that people would just apply that to their heart. If they don't know you, I pray today would be the day that they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name.